Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 553, PAX West 2016 recap, recorded on September 18th, 2016. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm, and tonight we're taking a little bit of a difference in terms of the shows that we typically do, and we're going to be talking about PAX, PAX West, or formerly known as PAX Prime. And I have with me two special guests on tonight who had their first time at PAX. They lost their PAX virginity, so to speak. This year at PAX, and that would be South, who was actually on our previous episode, and then Toa Freak, who we've had on here plenty of times already. But welcome both, one and all.
Glad to, be back.
Yep.
Yeah, it's good to have you guys on here. It was good meeting up with both of you guys in person for the first time.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of fun.
Oh yeah, like I said before on the previous podcast, there's a lot of The idea of putting faces to actual Twitter handles and gamer tags was the coolest thing, I think. And just meeting people I wasn't expecting to meet, like Ian or Toa Freak. I wasn't expecting to meet you, but I did.
Likewise, I wasn't expecting to meet you, and it turned out to be awesome. You know, awesome time meeting you, getting to hang with you and all that.
Yeah, it was definitely, I think that was more fun than... Actually, it was more fun meeting people than waiting in line to play video games. Like, I will go back to PAX.
But what about meeting people in line to play video games?
That's different.
At the same time.
Well, it was kind of interesting that you mentioned that, because for a while, the way that I met people was actually going to Halo Lines and PAX. And this was back in like 2011, 2012 when I first went to PAX. And for those who don't know my first convention story, the first one was PAX Prime at the time, and I actually got invited out by 343 to be on a panel for Halo Fest. So it was first time as media, first time to a convention, first time visiting the studio, and it was just all these things happening at once. And the way I met some of the people back then was actually standing in lines. And it's weird, because nowadays the way I meet most people is through all the different traditions that have been made. So if you're able to go to PAX West, there's always these dinner traditions within like the Halo community that's been built. There's always something on Wednesdays, Thursdays, Sundays, Mondays. It's just a lot of traditions have been founded upon Halo community people going to PAX. And I think a lot of it kind of started around Halo Fest time as well. But just from that, it's really cool to, again, like you guys said, put names to faces, and for some people, put voices to names and faces too.
yeah
definitely. And that was the thing. It was, I went not knowing what to expect. Like, I knew I was going to 343, I knew I was going to PAX, but I wasn't expecting, you know, the dinners and just all the hangouts that have happened, and just random encounters with people. I mean, like I said, with Toa Freak, you know, we met at what's the official term,
it was the Halo Collector meetup.
And the
3-4 the 3-4-3 tour and all that.
Yeah, the bar. What was the bar?
Oh yeah, yeah, called? We did. Yeah.
Oh, Brew Carbecue.
There we go. Goodness gracious.
I completely forgot that night.
Absolutely
insane, because that was awesome.
We got talking about our favorite city, and that was. You know, it was a pretty good chat, but yeah, it was just cool to, like, I wasn't even expecting to go to that. Like, I got an invite, but I wasn't expecting to go. Like, I don't know. It just happened
to work out.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of stuff is stuff that really brings people together, and it's kind of one of those things, if people are new to it, you just kind of drag them along. So Recarbecue has been something that's been going on for 5 years now, and it's been just growing. People have been like, the amount of people that have attended just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing. And it's like all the people that have been there before just bring more people, and it just keeps on getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So that kind of stuff is, to me, a lot of what PAX is now. But the reason why I have you guys on is because this is your first time at PAX. So I wanted to kind of get your flavor and your take on it, because people that have been listening to this, they've heard me talk about PAX several times already. They've heard my stories from the past 6 years of attending PAX and all that stuff. But I want to focus on you guys and kind of give the folks at home a chance of, like, this is kind of what first time at PAX is like. So aside from the Wing Dome on Wednesday, if we were there on Wednesday, or the Recarbecue on Thursday, what was kind of the one thing you guys were really looking forward to at PAX, that being your first time there? And I guess we'll start with, let's go with Ian first.
Well, if we're talking about the trip in general, it was definitely the 343 visit, but going to PAX specifically, I guess just experiencing like a real video game convention. It's like back here in Chicago, all I can go to is like there's an anime convention and a couple comic conventions, which are fun. You know, they don't have standing in line meeting, you know, gaming personalities and playing games before they're released. So that was definitely what I was looking forward to most.
What about you, Eric?
Yeah, well, I guess I've been to like a small game convention here on the East Coast, and it was nothing compared to what it was like, you know, going to PAX. Like, you're walking by people that you've seen for years in the industry, just, you know, acting like normal people enjoying video games. And I guess the coolest thing for me about PAX was meeting everybody, being able to experience that big game convention thing that I've always wanted to experience. Like, you know, when I was younger, I was like, oh, I would love to go to E3. I'd love to go to E3.
Yeah.
And then the more I heard about PAX and like the importance it had with, you know, in the Halo community and everything. And just, it just seemed to me, it seemed like that would be the, you know, it slowly became like, okay, forget about E3. I'll go to PAX. And, it's just like, you get a, I don't know. Like I said, there's definitely a lot of people around and everything. And like that to me was a little crazy at first, cause I can get claustrophobic and stuff, but, it was just overall was just awesome. Just to, you know, sit there and even though, you know, I mean, you basically sometimes had to wait in line to play games, but it was cool. It was cool to, being able to try some of those games and, you know, like, you know, honestly, I didn't get to play as much as I wanted to play. Because right. There was so much like, hey, we're going to go eat at this place. You want to go? Okay, yeah, let's go eat.
Yeah. It's like, I really want to do this, but I want some food too.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think one of the things about the whole experience, at least kind of like my first time there, was just really, I mean, well, I kind of take this back a little bit because I didn't quite do this, but like taking in the city a little bit and being able to really get the, because it was, that was my first time, like whenever I was first out there, it was my first time on the West Coast really that I could remember. I'd been out to California once, I think, but other than that, I hadn't really been out to the West Coast much. So getting that feel, and then I know one of the big things, and let me know if you guys did this or not, but like going down to Pike Place Market and checking that out, did you guys get a chance to do that?
Yeah, that was cool. I loved that. Like, that was the first thing I did, because I actually stayed with Thai Boy the night before, and we went to breakfast at the restaurant that's there. And it was awesome. It was just a cool experience seeing the guy throw fish or whatever and scare. Like, there was these two girls who screamed at the top of their lungs because the guy, oh, you know, just threw the fish and, like, you know, made some random sound about it. And they, like, they freaked out. And it was just cool because it's just, you know, it's right there on the water. You know, I think, like, I want to live in Seattle now after being there. Like, I've always wanted to go to Seattle, so there was a lot of first that happened for me. And it was just, you know, the first time in Seattle, first time at PAX, first time at 343, first time meeting a lot of people. You know, I finally got to meet Haas, and, you know, we talk all the time, and it was really cool. And but it was just, you know, being able to experience that and just walk around the city. I mean, my feet were killing me every single night, but it was worth it.
Oh, God, but it was worth it. Yeah, I didn't get to go to the thing that, what is it, Pike's, what was it called?
Pike's Market.
Yeah, I didn't get to go to it this time, but the last time I was in Seattle, not for PAX, though, funny enough, it happened to be the same weekend as Emerald City Comic Con. That's not what I was there for, and I didn't get to go, but just weird coincidence back then. But the first time I went to Seattle, yeah, I stumbled upon it on accident when I was just kind of walking around the city, and that I spent like a good like 3 hours there just observing everything, because holy shit, it's the city is amazing.
It's a pretty cool place. I do have to say, one of the things I really like about it, and I'm like not a nature freak, but I'm kind of like a nature freak in a way that I just kind of like just kind of the outdoorsy feel of stuff. So being the first time I was out there, it was just kind of one of those things. I was like, this place looks so amazing. Just the rolling hills, the lakes, the trees, the water. It was just like so cool to be in that environment. And strangely enough, this is the first year that I've been there, at least, where there was actually like complete gray on days during PAX. And it's kind of been a running joke for a while that Labor Day weekend, or the weekend of PAX Prime / now PAX West, was one of the only weekends throughout the year that it was a sunny weekend throughout the entire week. So this is my first PAX West where that was actually not the case, and there were a couple of days that it was purely overcast, no sun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fact that I only had to wear my sunglasses like once or twice, I loved it. Like it's literally the perfect weather for me. Like at one point I called my wife and I told her, like, look, we've got to move out here. This is the best weather. You know, this is where I'm meant to be. And I mean, like, I remember when we were driving the 343 Thursday morning, just seeing like the nature and just, I mean, this city and nature kind of mix in really well together, it seems like. And it's just, it reminded me of Alan Wake.
Yeah, all the trees.
I haven't played Alan Wake yet, so I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, I did buy it. It's in my library. I just haven't played it yet.
Yeah, I just got it. I just got my own copy of it. I rented it years ago, but I've got to replay it now that I have a physical copy because it's. But anyway, that's off topic.
So what was kind of the? Because I know we're going to talk about studio visit, because that is something I wanted to bring up. I kind of wanted to get underneath like the PAX experience first. But you guys mentioned waiting in line for games. Another reason why people typically go to PAX is either for like the exclusives or the tournaments or the panels. Did you guys get a chance to check out any of that kind of stuff as well?
I got to go to the Maestros of Video Games panel on Saturday morning, I think. No, Sunday morning, I'm pretty sure. That's really the only panel I got to go to.
Yeah, I didn't actually go to any single panel. The only, like, I guess, exclusive thing that was Haas randomly told me that there's some Gears of War thing going on at the store called Bates. And like we hiked our butts, like it felt like 10 miles.
It was like 20 blocks, I think he said.
Uphill. And
being like the most out of shape out of all of us, dying the whole time.
Dude, I like my legs were killing me.
Oh yeah,
but it was cool though, because like when we finally got there, like they were like the first 100 people, they were given pins and stuff and
signed
poster. Rod Ferguson was there, Killer Mike, and so I can't remember the other guy's like name, but it's something there. But it's like run the it's called Run the Jewels. Yeah. That's Killer Mike and the other guy.
Okay.
It looks like his name is LP. Anyways, they were there, so it was like kind of random. You know, I wasn't expecting to go and meet Killer Mike of all places. You know, and so that was the only like exclusive thing I kind of ran. We walked really fast too, and. But like as far as panels is like that, I wish I did, but I just feel like there was not enough time for anything. It felt like,
yeah, like I tried scheduling stuff out, but like every time I wanted to do something, like somebody would show up and say, hey, we're doing this. And it's like, I would love to go to this thing, but I kind of want to hang out with these guys and do whatever they're doing.
I didn't even look at the schedule this year.
I glanced at it, and then...
Oh, yeah, because you were going to, like, what, four parties? Like, once... I think you, like, missed out it. So we missed Friday because of the 3-4-3, and then I think you missed, like, almost all of Saturday because he had, like, three or four parties that day, right?
Actually, Saturday was...
Or was it... Or am I thinking... No, it was Thursday.
That was Sunday. Friday was the,
eh, whatever. So, yeah.
Saturday, I just chilled. I just kind of, like, laid back and didn't do anything because there was so there were parties every single night.
Yeah.
In Seattle. So Wednesday night was Wing Dome. Thursday night was Recarbecue. Friday night was there wasn't any party specifically, but it was we were out at 3-4-3 late playing ping pong.
Oh my, yeah, ping pong air quotes.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that in a minute.
I really hope Kenny Pitt posts that video. He took like an hour's worth of video at least with all that.
Oh, jeez. That sounds epic.
I want to see the entire video.
Yeah, he definitely has some B-roll for his visit footage whenever he decides to post that up. And then Saturday night, there was technically a Bungie.org dinner. There's a bowling alley that they've been going to for the past 3 years, I think. I decided to skip on that. And then Sunday, there was a meetup for Highwire Games at 4 in Old Seattle, the lower part of Seattle. Then there was another dinner thing that I got invited to. And then there was the RUL party. Which I didn't go to the RUL party because I stayed at the other friends and played Cards Against Humanity for 3.5 hours.
It's not a bad way to spend the evening.
Oh, it was a blast. We came up with some really dark and creepy combinations, and one of them I posted on Facebook. Like, looking at that now, it didn't seem quite as funny, but when we read it out, just with the combination of cards that came before it, and we had at one point 10 people playing, which the more people you have playing, the better the game gets.
Oh yes.
And it was funny because it just got like the first one was pretty bad to start off with, but then the second one was worse, the third one was worse, the fourth one was worse, the fifth one was worse, and then this one just kind of like knocked our socks off. And then the other two were like, oh, well, okay, that wasn't as climactic, but the ones leading up to that were definitely like, oh, crap, we're horrible people. So I stayed there for that, and then Monday was the Spaghetti Factory.
Oh, man, that I'm so glad I got to go to that, and I didn't have to miss it, but yeah, I had to rush out of there once so I can get in an Uber and get on the airplane. But it was good. I'm glad I went. That place was pretty good.
And then Tuesday night, I did dinner with the Griffball folks.
Nice.
Yeah, there's something to do like every night that you're there in Seattle, especially if you're part of the Halo community.
Oh yeah.
So it was great. It was really fun. but anything else you guys got to check out for PAX? I guess we're pretty much out on the panel stuff. Any other games, I guess, other than Halo that you guys were interested in that you stood in line for, or was it primarily just Halo that you focused on?
Well, we stood in line for an hour, me, Eric, and Haas for Halo Wars 2. So we got to do that on PC, which was a lot of fun. I think it was the next day I stood in line for Battlefield 1, which was fantastic. And then a few of us went to play the new Horde mode, which is also a lot of fun. Like, I was really skeptical about that when they announced it, and they said that they're bringing classes back in because classes in Judgment survival mode were absolute. You know, they weren't classes so much as like player restrictions, but they are much better implemented in Gears of War 4.
Yeah, I actually, I wasn't like really excited for Gears of War 4 until I played the Horde mode. And because I got to only play it probably like 30 minutes of the beta when they were doing that. And but yeah, wait in line for that. Halo Wars 2 and some indie stuff, checking out some indie stuff. I really like, honestly, like I kept on wanting to go back to the horde mode or horde mode setup because it just it was just really fun. It was just fun. Especially when we had everybody, you know, we all knew each other. We're all, you know, communicate and, you know, joking around and everything. And but it made me like really excited for Gears again because I've kind of lost interest over the years. But now, you know, after playing it and experience, you know, the experience that I had there, you know, first to 20 thing? What was it that they were first to 40?
First to 50.
50. Okay. Yeah. Like that. So I watched a little bit of that and that was cool. Yeah. You know, Major Nelson, there and, Rod Ferguson.
Yeah. Apparently they were having audio issues on Twitch.
Oh, well.
So I heard.
Wah, wah. I actually had a friend who did that and was one of the ones that qualified for Sunday and actually got to play on the stage Sunday. And they were one of the ones that actually took home some prizes from it too.
Very nice.
Yeah. So that was really cool. If anyone knows him, he's Ace. He's a good friend of mine. He actually invited me to his wedding. I got to be in it. But yeah, so I guess for lack of better words, that kind of wraps up the PAX experience. I guess before we dive into the 343 stuff, any other Seattle stuff that you guys got to check out that really kind of intrigued you, like with your visit there, or kind of, I guess, anything along those lines?
Well, not necessarily like things I saw in Seattle, but I guess it probably is a good time to say this now instead of talking about the 343 experience. Like I said, I got to meet a lot of people, but what was cool though was, you know, I met people from 343, I met people from Bungie, you know, I met people from Highwire Games, and it's not that I thought this was happening, but it seems like people have like this idea that there's a bunch of like tension between all these companies, like, oh well, you know,
Bungie hates 343.
And it's just like, you know, after talking to some people, I'm not gonna name names because we had some cool conversations, but like, you know, just like seeing how like the industry actually works compared to what a lot of people outside of it think the way it works. And like seeing the just hearing different stories and just hearing things about Halo that people have complained about, but there's a major reason behind it, or you know, just the fact that like when we were at Highwire Games, you know, you had people from Bungie, you had people from 343, and then, you know, of course the Highwire people there, and it was just cool to, you know, just see people like they don't care if you work at 343 or whatever. Like they're just, you know, they're all in the industry together. And, I don't know, maybe it was just me. Maybe it has more that had that mindset of like, maybe there's like this weird tension between the companies and stuff, but
there's definitely a projected kind of tension between certain companies out there. Like, I've seen, like, especially back when 343 was founded, it's like everyone's like, oh, Bungie must hate these guys and shit like that. So it's either that camp or you're like, oh, no, they don't hate them because they're all made up of old Bungie employees. And it's like, oh.
Yeah, so it was just cool just to, you know, I guess, like, I've told a few people, you know, the story, like, my experience and everything. And, like, I always go back to, like, you know, I used to be in a band. And when I was younger, I would look at these other bands and, you know, quote unquote, see these rock stars or whatever. But then I started playing in a band and I realized that they're just people playing music who enjoy it like I do. And it was kind of like the same thing with, you know, because like everyone was just like, no one had this rock star attitude. You know, everyone was just like, you know, really cool, really laid back and, you know, willing to talk to you. And, you know, not sounding, you know, trying to not sounding stuck up or anything. And like, it makes me like really want to get into the industry. Like I've wanted to for a long time, but it just made me really want to now because it's just like, you have these people who are very creative. You know, they love sharing their, you know, their ideas and their thoughts and everything. And you have people from all different walks of life. And it's just it just was a cool, you know, really cool experience for me just to be able to see that, because that's, like, that's where that's like what I want to do. And so it's just awesome to experience that. And you know, kind of go through the same thing I did before, but with this industry, to just thinking that, you know, they're not rock stars. They're just regular people doing what they enjoy to do. So
I know that's just what they want you to think.
No. Yeah, the second you leave, everyone pulls out their secret weapons, like, just to the death.
No, but you're right. That'd be interesting.
more of like a old school, like 50s battle royal in the streets.
Oh yeah.
Everyone starts
dancing in before they fight.
Which AAA studio will outlast the others? Too funny. Yeah. But okay, so let's go ahead and move on to the 343 visit. So everyone here actually got to visit 343 Studios at the new location, which was really cool. I think after they moved into January, their space is a lot more spacious. Should have thought that one through before I said that. Sorry.
It's true. It was like meant to be a lot more spacious, so you're not wrong.
Their new studio is really nice, and they have... They took over an old Microsoft building. It got renovated, and they basically took over the space for this entire studio. So they're, instead of having like two little conference rooms, they now have a full floor pretty much dedicated towards like where they could bring in media and bring in outside people to show stuff off. And then they have like development stuff on other floors of the building. But one of the cool things that we got to see going there was the Halo Museum, which is still kind of under construction, to use kind of a loose term.
Yeah, they said it was like, this is like phase one. They have like phase two and phase three plans. That's how it was described to me anyway.
Right. And like, you could tell the room was maybe half done. They had one part that was kind of the backdrop of one of the tiles from the real life breakout from San Diego Comic-Con last year. And then like behind that, there's like another half of that office room that still has to be built out. But we were one of the first ones outside of anyone from corporate or the studio to actually see the museum. And I know, Toa, you have your video posted. I have video which I haven't gone through yet and posted yet, but I should get posted this week. There's a lot of cool stuff in that museum, and there's some really cool things that I took pictures of, specifically like scripts and other things from the live action stuff that was just like totally awesome. And like some of the stuff I wish you could actually get as Halo merchandise, some of the memorabilia that they have. And it's like, oh, I wish I could have a piece of this.
I mean, that full size DMR.
Well, it was like walking down like memory lane, literally, because they had it set up. You know, kind of had it set up to like from the very beginning to, you know, to current in a way, like, you know, walking there, seeing all the original Halo stuff. I'm just like, this is my childhood in a case. I need all of it.
Right. it was good stuff.
Yeah, it was cool scenes, like seeing the props and stuff from some of the live action stuff and the Forward Unto Dawn stuff, and it's just really cool. It's like, it's funny like how fake it looks in person in a way. You know what I mean? Like it's funny how different it looks on, you know, when you're actually seeing it in some live action stuff compared to what it looks like in person.
I mean, fake's probably a pretty accurate descriptor. I mean, like the DM, yeah. Like the DMR is still my favorite example. Just looks very, very different in once getting up close to it than it did in Nightfall.
In addition to some of the Nightfall stuff too, there was some cool Forward Unto Dawn stuff too, like the cams suit out there, and then there was the Beamish one as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that surprised me, like seeing the officers' uniforms and whatnot, like the all made of like, what was it, like they're made of wool, and like, ooh, looking at those up close and just thinking about the actors having to wear all that, it's like, holy crap. But I mean, it looks so different up close than when you see it in Forward Unto Dawn.
They also had the, it was outside of the museum, but they actually had the tables that were used in Forward Unto Dawn, like in
they had the cams, what do you call it, the lunchroom. with a mess room. The tables. The mess hall tables, yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, they had the HoloLens off to the HoloLens displays off to the or table off to the side too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty cool to see that too, because I remember yeah. watching videos on YouTube, being so jealous.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, and there like one of the other cool things that really like that when I saw them, like I really really need some of this stuff was you guys remember the ODST live action trailer thing?
Yep. The mm-hmm. life, as they call it.
Yes. And there was some, there was a case that had some of that stuff in there. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the flag that they put in the guy's chest, wasn't that one of the things that was there? Like the torn up flag piece?
I think so. Like in my mind, I remember it, but I'm not sure if I'm making that, if my mind's making that up.
But I know, I'm thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I could swear I saw it there. I don't know that for sure, though.
I'm pretty sure it is, because I'm thinking the same thing as you are. And if that's the case, it was like, I need or this. Halo Minds,
that, yeah.
Oh, that was God. The one thing. It's like, I want this. Like,
both either torn or completed, whichever, I would buy that. I want an ODST flag to hang like over my computer in front of me right now. Like I want that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd buy one to hang over my computer and one to hang over my grave.
Yes. Well, I probably shouldn't just because I never actually served. But yeah, I'll be buried. Well, I don't want to be buried, but that's another discussion. So
you served by playing the game. You helped save the galaxy by playing the game.
It feels like stolen valor to me. So it'd be like that. But for okay. you, it would work really well. So.
Well, how about a Spartan flag instead?
Maybe.
I think that'd be cool.
If we want to get into it, I don't really want to be buried, but that's a whole different discussion, so not relevant right now.
Oh, they also had the Halsey journal pages that have been ripped out. Whatever. I'm just like, give them to me. I want them.
They had I don't know if they had the ones that were ripped out or the originals that were ripped out, but they had at the very least they had like all this concept art and like development stuff for it. Mm-hmm. And I know Grim was talking about how he found like a chest that had all the pages that had been ripped out. It's like I got to reach out to him and say, hey, can you like send me some send me a set of copies just for myself?
So they released the pages as PDFs.
Well, yeah, but I would love to actually get the physical versions if I could. Especially, like I said, Grim found that secret chest, so like maybe I can message him and say, "Hey, could you, just for me?"
Ah, gotcha.
They also had like stuff I wasn't expecting to see either, like the big Mega Bloks.
That was at
E3, right? And then a few other shows.
No, the Spire was from San Diego.
Yeah, I was always wondering like what happened to that afterwards, and seeing that up close was really damn cool.
Yeah, it's really detailed. I mean, just like the amount of work that had to go into that is insane. And like and just having random stuff like the sides of the Halo themed race cars that they had, or NASCAR race cars.
Yeah,
and I think they were actually from the race, because they were kind of beat up and everything.
Yeah.
And
they were from the actual car kit side. Yeah, they were from the cars.
And then one of the, like, this might sound silly, but I can't remember. I know it was one of the Halo 5 live action. I don't remember how many there were, but one of the live action commercials where the figures, like people were like, what the heck are these? Like, why couldn't they just use a real Master Chief figure? But they were like figures that look like some kids, made or whatever.
Yeah.
And they had those there too. And I thought, because it was cool to actually see those in person, because I remember like pausing the video and being like, what the heck is that?
Yeah. I personally liked that in the second one where they announced that was the first one where they announced the Chief's death. But
yeah,
I always loved that in the trailer, that it was a Spartan 4 model that the kid had repainted to look like Master Chief.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gotcha. Oh yeah. Okay. For a second, I thought you were talking about like the Believe one, but then
it was Halo 5.
Right. Right.
A Hero Falls, I think it was called.
And besides the museum, we actually got to go into the stream area, like where they do all the live streams from.
Yeah, but they didn't let us stream.
But it was cool though. It was cool to see it. And like, cause like when you watch it, you know, it's just like this little tiny area, and then you see how much is actually in there and how much work they put into it. Yeah. And it was,
I love they had the Corbulo statue in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then everyone was like starting to like kind of like geek out in there for some reason. It was kind of cool. And, I think one of the coolest things was the ping pong that happened between, four or fifth yeah. players and other people. Like I didn't play, but I watched it, and you know, it's pretty awesome. And you know, that was one thing too, is the four or fifth people being there. And I've actually, again, because I haven't gone to many conventions or anything, I haven't got to actually experience that and see a lot of people's work in person. So that was cool to see too. And I mean, some of the, like, just the detail on it, on their armor is just amazing. Like I wish I could do stuff like that.
But you can. All you have to do is believe and put in the effort.
Yeah, that's the thing, is the effort, having the time and the effort to do it.
That's one of the things I hope to at some point actually get involved with and start making my own armor, because...
Well, you'd be well for it. You're tall as hell, man. Like, meeting you for the first time is just like towering over me. What? So you got the height. You could be a Spartan.
Yeah, definitely. You got to lose a little bit of the gut, but...
Hey, yeah, motivation.
Titans come in all sizes.
Exactly.
As they say.
We all remember Arthur.
Yeah, fair enough. So one of the other cool things I really liked about the museum too was the props that you could actually like pose with. They had they were from Nightfall. They had the Nightfall props there, so that was cool.
They had a few because like the SMGs weren't Nightfall. I think those might have been ODST. At least one of them was, because they had the silenced SMGs as well. And so, but yeah, a lot of the bigger ones, like the DMR and the AR, were Nightfall.
Yeah.
My mind!
So much info. Yeah. Amongst the museum, we actually got to play some stuff a little early, too. So we got to play Forge. For a handful that was able to get their hands on Forge for a little bit. But we also got to do Halo Wars 2 for those that hadn't had a chance to play. I got my hands on it at E3, so I had a chance to play there. And then San Diego had it, so I'd gotten my fair share of it. But there was also Mercy. What, Mercy the Haven remake, right? No.
Yeah, it's Mercy.
Yeah, Mercy. So... we got to do Super Slayer on that, or no, Super Fiesta Slayer on that one, which is like, it's the Fiesta with all the rec weapons, and we got to play it on PC, so mouse and keyboard, which I have to admit, even though I am out of practice with using mouse and keyboard, it felt so good.
It really definitely did.
And that's, and then especially seeing it in 4K at one point that we were able to, it was just like, Mercy, it looks amazing. And I know I said this last time, but it's probably my favorite map right now. It looks so good. It's like, I love the colors. I love the fact that it's not what we have been getting with Halo 5.
Yeah. It's beautifully, artistically, it's well done. Design wise, it's well done. A great map all around, just a lot of fun to play. I also loved playing, because we got to do the Warzone Assault map as well.
Yeah. What's that one, Temple?
I think so, maybe.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's Temple.
Sounds right.
But, you know, it was really cool, though, because, like, being in the same room with everybody playing Warzone, it was everyone yelling at each other. It was really cool. And, you know, it's just, it brought me back to the LAN party experience.
Yeah, exactly, I want LAN parties back. Exactly. I need to find some friends and have a LAN party.
You know what? We all moved to Seattle. There you go. Problem solved.
There we go.
Well, that's what we need to do. Is besides moving there, try to do next PAX, try to plan some type of LAN party some type of get together. Well, I mean, I don't know when we'd be able to do it because there's something going on every single night, it seems like, but it would be cool to get a bunch of people to do that. Or hey, we just convince 343 to let us do it there.
Yeah. Hey, can we rent out your studio for a night?
All night long. Do us all the Mount
Dew. Give lock-in. Us all
the Mount Dew.
Oh, God, that would be so much fun.
A lock-in would be so cool. Oh, geez, that'd be awesome.
It would be awesome.
So the Ready Up Live guys did something interesting, or at least a good portion of them, and they got a condo, and it was like pretty sizable. Plenty of space to do a LAN party. You just have to have people that bring a bunch of Xboxes and games to do it on, but it's definitely possible.
Yeah. Or maybe, we could just... We could try to convince 343 and Microsoft to give us our own server, private server.
Hey, we need, that'd be a really tough feat because like if they were to do the tournament build, they would like someone has to be under lock and key with all that stuff, which is like, wherever a build goes, they have to go with it, with that kind of dev tournament build with the custom solution in there to do the local dedicated server. But aside from that, like getting all the Xboxes and the games would be a feat in and of itself, but it would still be cool nonetheless.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, even if it's like OG Xbox with Halo 1 playing, like if we can get at least like a couple of those, that'd be pretty fun. Maybe that's throw in a little
TV
bit
needs.
I'll throw in a little Mech Assault in there too somehow.
Yeah, and then we got a little demo of how to use Forge from Tom French and someone else whose name I can't remember. Then we had pizza for lunch. We got to go around and see the studio where they filmed the update stuff. We got to see the museum, a few other things. And then we got to play ping pong and foosball. Like there was a group of us that just kind of like hung out after they kind of like let us go at I guess 4 or something, and I know Ian and I were at least there until 6.
Yeah, about
playing ping pong. We got so many balls stuck up in the lights.
Yep,
that made me take it so wrong. Sorry.
I'll tell you, man, we lost so many balls.
Well, it's I always want to say about the pizza. The best pizza is pizza given to you for free at 343. That's the best pizza. I will gladly take pizza at 343 any day. You could give me Little Caesars and I will say it's the best pizza at 343.
You could say it's 343.
Wait, Dust, cut that out. Cut that out. Don't make sure that doesn't hit broadcast. We don't want that to happen. No Little Caesars.
So, this is a complete tangent, but wasn't Little Caesars the pizza that was delivered in Home Alone?
I don't know. I haven't watched that in years.
Well, we've got these fancy space computers. We could probably look that up. Home Alone, Little Caesars.
He's actually looking it up. Let me know what you find. But I will have to say, probably my highlight from that trip is probably the museum. I mean, I really liked playing mouse and keyboard on Halo, and I know I have it now. But the museum is something I can't take with me. So, like, that museum is...
Don't worry. We'll figure that out, how to do it next year.
Right? We just need to get a holodeck and clone everything. And then we can just have our own museum in the comfort of our own home.
With blackjack and hookers. And you know what? Forget the blackjack.
All right, I've got your answer. It wasn't called Little Caesars. It was called Little Nero's Pizza.
I made sure I
said that clearly because I didn't want to be misheard on that. But
I wonder if they couldn't get the advertising rights or something and had to change it.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like a play on Little Caesars, like a joke on Little Caesars or something.
Okay.
Anyways, but you were close.
I was close. Thank you. Appreciate the
consolation.
The patron, yeah.
Or the Google Foo.
Yes. All of that. All of the above. Thank you. So what were your guys' favorite parts of the studio tour? I think Ian's was pretty much the museum. Yeah. Yeah. I had a feeling you were going to say the museum.
or more specifically, going into the museum and then getting to talk to some of the 343 employees there. Like, obviously, Grim was a lot of fun meeting Jeff in real life. I hate that I always forget her name, but there was another woman there. She was kind of high up on the 343 food chain. But you know, we got to talk a lot of Halo and
Kiki,
as was pointed Bonnie? Out a lot. Not Kiki. No, she's not like very well publicly known, but she appeared in the final episode of The Sprint before the one that came out after Halo 5. She's in that scene when they're talking about, you know, with the product team, and they're talking about Halo Mythos and all that jazz.
Okay. I know who you're talking about. Oh, I'm forgetting her name. Begins with an S?
Possibly. It's
Sarah? You're not talking about Sarah, are you?
No, not Sarah. I loved meeting Sarah. She was a lot of fun.
Yeah, she was really cool. Like, I mean, we got to...
I'm glad she took my sexist joke very, very, very well. I know, meeting them, getting to talk shop. As somebody said, and like a few people noted in my video when I posted my video of the tour, I had completely forgotten about it, but I apparently called out my dislike of the Chief's armor from Forward Unto Dawn in front of 343. So I have no issue with telling them what I really think.
No shame, sir. No shame. No, I mean, that's good. It's critiques. It's feedback. It's all good.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, they hear it on a daily basis.
Oh, I made my displeasure known back when that came out.
Yeah, it was definitely. I would say like my favorite thing was definitely the museum, and definitely like being able to play stuff with a bunch of people from the community, and then being able to have conversations from developers, because I'm a developer myself. So just kind of I come from a web developer background. So that's mostly what I do. I'm trying to get into the industry, it could be game development or just web development in the industry, and just talking to, you know, the different developers and kind of getting their point of view of things and, you know, where they started and their past, you know, how they got where they are kind of thing. And that was a cool thing for me.
Yeah. I figured out the name. It's Corrine Robinson. She's the Halo franchise manager. So
gotcha.
That's her name. So, if anyone watching, listening to this wants to know who she is, you can go to season 3, episode 5 of The Sprint. It's about 5 minutes, 40 seconds in. You'll see her and you'll know who I'm talking about. But I talked a lot with her, a lot of fun. And we also got to meet, what's his name from Ascendant Justice? It's escaping me. Vociferous. We got to meet Vociferous, which was fun.
Yeah, he's a really cool dude.
Yeah, like I didn't even make the connection since like he's also in The Sprint and a lot of the recent 343 materials, but you know, I never knew that was, you know, that Vociferous was Jeremy. I can't remember his last name right now.
There's so many people to try to keep track of at 343.
I found it, but I do not want to try and pronounce that.
Oh, do you want to link it and I'll try to pronounce it? I may know how.
There, I'll put it in the Skype chat. You can try. It's like Patnod,
yeah, that's okay. Right. Patnod.
Go me.
Yay.
But yeah. So I guess that's public knowledge, but I never knew. And then it's like, oh, okay, Vociferous, that's cool. He used to post a lot on 343 when he first joined on the forums, I should say, on Waypoint when he first joined, and then he just kind of disappeared after, I think, after like Glasslands or Thursday War. So,
yeah, I haven't seen him much on the public side other than a few video stuff. Like, at least from the public side of, like, stuff that he works with. Unlike Grim, that's, like, you know what stuff he's working on because he's regularly posting. Yeah, exactly. But, no, Jeremy's...
The last, like, public thing he did other than behind-the-scenes stuff is, like, that whole New Way to Campaign series way back when. I would love if 343 would repost those because those were a lot of fun, a lot of cool to see.
Yeah. And I think, like, for the most part, too, seeing those kinds of people, like, they're at the studio... I mean, you just think about like where some of those people come from, and it's like, oh, they were in the community once, and now they're here. It's kind of a cool way to make that connection. So yeah, it's cool for sure. I mean, Jessica Shea dropped by the studio as well.
Yeah, that was fun to get to meet her in person.
Yeah,
I'd worked with her so long on Waypoint and never got to meet her in person. And then it's like, oh, here you are.
Yay. It's like, heard there was a community day. I thought I'd come on over.
I got to meet Sam Snickerdoodle from the Waypoint forums, another person I worked with for a long time. She was a lot of fun to meet as well.
Also from Griff Baja Hub. Doubly dutied in both of those realms. But yes.
Yeah, it was definitely it was definitely cool, like how planned out everything was, and like how how welcoming everyone was at 343, and just welcoming in the community and just allowing us to, you know, to hang out and act a fool at their foosball tables and stuff. And
yep,
foosball, table tennis, or it, what we kind of ended up devolving it to was anything tennis. Anything goes tennis. We were bouncing balls off the ceiling and off the floor and off the wall and
off people.
Yeah. Tashi and I managed to just like start playing with two balls and trying to just keep them going. And then
I saw that. And then like, I'd constantly try and like throw another ball in there.
Just yeah. It was awesome. It was just fun. And like, I jokingly said to, I think either Jeff or Bravo, it's like, I bet this is the most action that this room has ever gotten. But yeah, overall, the visit was really cool. Really awesome to be invited out to 343 and just get to spend a day there with them. And then we got a little goodie bag of stuff.
Oh yeah, the Frankie signed Mr. Chief.
Yep.
Poster and
the little image that you get whenever you finish the campaign on Lazo. It's the hand drawing from Frankie with Mr. Chief in a lasso. So they had those printed out and signed, and then there was another.
It was a concept art of Mercy,
right? And then there was also a, what do they call them, lithographs? What are they called? Or no, watercolor drawing of Cortana.
That was the best. That was really awesome to get those.
Yeah.
Only 117 of them.
I wish I got number 13. Wish I knew whoever got 13 and I could trade with them.
Why number 13?
Because I was born on the 13th.
Ah.
Yeah. All right. And I think that pretty much wraps up our studio trip, unless there was anything else that really stuck out to you guys. I mean, I guess you guys got to, that was your first time to play Halo Wars 2. That's the only other thing that was really not new to me.
Outside of the beta.
It was the first time playing whatever that mode was. I'm trying
Strongholds.
Like Strongholds.
Okay,
it was Strongholds. I wasn't sure because there's also the Stronghold in Halo 5. I was wondering if I was mixing things up. But yeah, no,
yeah, that was pretty fun.
Was a lot of fun. And then playing it the next day at PAX on PC, it solidified my decision that, yeah, I'm primarily going to be playing that on PC when it comes out.
Well, I'm glad that it is a Play Anywhere game.
Yes, very much so.
Because I've actually I wasn't going, like, I've been kind of hesitant to it because I've always been a very, like, I like physical copies of games. I'm still that guy. And so I was I'll try it out. What was that?
I absolutely hear you, because I still haven't actually pre-ordered my Halo Wars yet. Just cause I'm pretty sure they're not going to do any sort of like limited edition, but I'm still holding out just in case.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was the thing, was like, I've been, like I said, I've been hesitant with that, and so I tried it with, I went ahead and did it with Recore, since Recore is a cheaper game, and yeah, it's Play Anywhere. I'm like, okay, this is pretty cool.
I thought there was supposed to be some kind of like collector's edition for Halo Wars 2.
Not yet. They haven't announced, like, they have the $80 Ultimate Edition, which comes with Halo Wars 1 Definitive Edition, but you know, so there's no
gotcha.
Like physical limited or collector's edition or Xbox. So,
which at that point would make it really hard for someone like me if they had like a, you know, like, cause I ended up getting the Halo 5 collector's edition, and because of the statue, I wanted the statue, and it would be awesome to get a Halo, you know, like the cover of Halo Wars 2, where you've, got what's his name on the top of the hill.
The Arbiter, and then Red Team on either side of the cover.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. No, the maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. The anyways, it would be interesting if they did end up doing some, if they did end up doing a physical copy, because it seems like they're really wanting to push the whole Play Anywhere thing, you know, doing a big collector's edition. Yeah. That's going to make it to where it's like, unless they did another code, I'd be okay with that. I would totally be okay with a digital code at that point. Like, I had no problem with that with Halo 5, because like, I get a statue, I can get a steel book to put in, you know, put on my shelf, and I can pretend it's there. The disc is there.
I also ended up going out and buying a Halo 5 disc later on, so I have the physical edition. And
think alike, because I ended up doing that, but I gave it to a buddy.
Well, I ended up having so many codes from that that I just gave most of them away, so I can keep my physical edition.
Come to think of it, I don't know if I actually have a physical edition, and I need to get that to add to my collection, so I'm slacking. I'm ashamed of myself now.
It's going to be cheaper now, so you're actually better off, good for waiting. So
that's true. Really cool stuff from the collector stuff that they could possibly do. And like, I have the collectors, or I guess the limited collectors or limited edition of Halo Wars 1 that had like the little patch in it and a few extra little tidbits in there. It's actually sitting on my bookshelf right now. I'm going to go over and get it.
I slept on that game. Like, I didn't play it. I have never played Halo Wars until Halo Wars 2.
Get the Ultimate Edition so you can play both.
Yeah.
Play anywhere.
Exactly.
And Halo Wars 1 on PC is going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Is going to be on PC? I didn't even know that.
If I recall correctly, the Definitive Edition will be Play Anywhere, so.
Yes, it will be available on PC.
That is awesome.
The limited collector's edition, or the limited edition, whatever they called it for Halo Wars 1, had dossiers on all of the main characters. So Captain Cutter, Professor Anders, Spartan Forge, Arbiter, Brute Chieftain, Prophet of Regret. I didn't realize these were stickers. There's stickers in here.
Yep, there are stickers. Had the Spirit of Fire patch, had the Genesis comic.
Yes.
You're making me want to go to eBay right now.
It's worth getting the limited edition if you can find it. It absolutely is. I ended up getting it. Actually, funny story. I ended up originally getting it for the Mythic Map pack, early access way back when.
Nice.
That was my and then it's like, oh, everything else is a bonus on top of that, which I've completely changed my stance on that these days. Like, that would never happen modern day. It's like, if that were the only bonus for a limited edition, that wouldn't sway me like it did back then.
Yeah.
Oof, $69 sealed. Oof.
That's actually really good. And especially sealed. Dude, I would buy that just to have a sealed version. It's like, a while ago, I was looking for a Halo 3 limited edition. Ended up buying one for probably about $60. When it got here, it turned out to be sealed, so I haven't opened it yet. So, and I originally wanted to get a limited edition for Halo 3 so I could get the Beastarium booklet. Mm-hmm. So now I have a sealed one that I'm not going to open, so I have to find another Halo 3 limited edition if I want to get the Beastarium booklet.
Collector problems.
Yeah, collector problems.
So many problems.
Woe is me. Feel sorry for me, audience. Feel sorry for my first world problems. Ooh.
Help feed my addiction. It's not an addiction.
Yeah, there's just so much I still need to get that I haven't got. And luckily, I don't have, I didn't even say luckily. I don't have an unlimited bank account. But if I did, you know,
that would be fantastic.
It would probably just be just as bad for me, though, because my wife would be like, all right, this is getting bad. You need to chill out.
Don't worry. We'll just buy a bigger house.
Yeah, we've got an unlimited bank account now.
Yeah, so exactly. We'll
just get an unlimited size house.
Or make a super edition, like a super add-on for the back of your normal sized house.
I will camouflage it.
Yes.
No one will see it.
Good luck with that.
All right, well, I'll just put it underground. There we go. That'd be perfect.
Well, that could work. Yeah, there you go. So anything else before we kind of wrap up the show? I think we've kind of gone through the big parts of, I guess, PAX and the 343 visit, but was there anything else that really kind of stood out to you with your trips to Seattle?
Mod Pizza was amazing. That was a really good pizza place. No, I thought the food was really good. There was what was the restaurant called? Like Elephant and the Castle or something like that?
Elephant and Castle, yeah. Yep.
That place was pretty good. And I was trying to go to places that I don't have around here in South Carolina, but it was just like, to me, I wish I was back in Seattle. Like, I just loved it. It was great. I will definitely be back 10 out of 10. IGN.
5 out of 7. Perfect game.
If there was like a couple of take backs that you guys had from this trip for anyone else that would be interested in going to PAX, say next year or sometime down the line, what are kind of like some of the big takeaways that you guys have from this year that you might apply to next year? Or have any advice to give to anyone that's interested in going?
Do not sleep on a hotel floor. You'll regret it.
I can tell you that one from plenty of COD experience. Like, I think it was like 3 years ago now. I accidentally forgot my air mattress when I was going to a con in Rosemont here near Chicago, and ended up sleeping on the floor, and my back did not forgive me for that.
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't think there's, you know, because like there's no way to be perfectly like prepared for PAX. But I would say, you know, don't go and try to play every single video game that's being displayed there. Like I kind of, you know, I wanted to go and play stuff with friends, but I would say like for anyone wanting to go to PAX, you know, just try to work things out. Like if you're in the Halo community, you know. Get a hold of one of us and see what we're doing. You know, it'd be cool to, it's better to experience that kind of those different things than wait in the line. Cause honestly, like my least favorite thing about PAX, if I had to pick a least favorite thing, would be waiting in line to play video games. And I know that's just kind of my takeaway from it. It was just like, I had a better time just going and hanging out with people and just getting to know people in the community and, you know, running up 20 blocks to the, you know, the Gears of War thing and feeling like my legs are going to break. And, so it was just, I would tell, you know, say, you know, you can't be overly prepared because, you know, I went through and like had a list of everything I needed to bring and I didn't even bring an air mattress. Like that was a mistake for, you know, number one, I was like, oh, I'll sleep on the floor. I'll save money. I'll be good. No, that was the biggest mistake of PAX, but definitely I would say bring an air mattress if you're going to sleep on the floor or if you are sleeping in a bed, good for you. But, I feel like if I would have tried to, you know, get to every video game, try everything out, like I wouldn't have had the experience that I had because I would have been too busy waiting in line. But definitely do that. Like, I feel like if you're going to PAX, that's one reason why you're going to PAX is to go play things and, you know, experience things before they're out. But especially I tried to skip some games. Like I was like, oh cool, I wanted to try out Final Fantasy, but I was like, you know what? I'm not going to, cause I'm gonna get it anyways. Kind of thing. So
yeah. There's definitely games I would have like really loved to try. And like the big thing is definitely like if you're going to PAX, try and plan out as much as you can. But and even, you know, there's stuff I regret not getting to do. Like I didn't, you know, there was like a signing with I think it was Jeff and Gus from Rooster Teeth, I think, that I didn't get to do because. But you know, it was like I'm sad missing that. But I had so much more fun hanging out with people, even though it was like we just went to lunch. But God, that was a lot of fun just getting to, you know, meet these people, talk with these people and whatnot. So.
Exactly. Yeah. That was
just
that
have
was,
fun. That's your thing. Just have
fun. Yeah. Just have fun. Don't stress out if you don't get to play something. I mean, there was times where I got out of the line just to go do something else and, you know, just communicate with other people in the community or, you know, whether it's Halo or whatever. And, exactly. Just have fun. Enjoy it. Don't stress over, you know, the little things. Like, I mean, I will say I did start to stress out a little bit over pins because I started to grow a little addiction with the pins.
I think that's natural.
And I think I figured out that, yeah, I'm not gonna be able to get every single pin like the Forza one. Like Ty Boy, I asked him, I was like, hey, you're media, won't you ask them for an extra one? And he asked them, and you know, they got one from, or he gave them, or got one for me. So that was cool. But the pins, that's what I really enjoyed, was the, you know, getting the pins too. That was really fun. But there was way, like, I didn't realize how many pins there were until I started seeing people's pins. I'm like, what is that? Where is that from?
Well, that's cool. I'm glad you guys got a good chance to experience PAX, and your first PAX was successful. That's always a good thing to hear with people that are.
Here's one, definitely. Sorry. What a big tip. If you're going to get posters, and trust me, you're going to get posters, bring a poster tube. Mm-hmm. Getting my posters home on an airplane, holy, I am amazed that they didn't get bent out of shape. I am so goddamn lucky. But yeah, so bring a poster tube. That's my big piece of advice.
Oh yeah, and then that, now that I think of it too, I brought a carry-on and a personal bag or whatever. So like stuff I got, like I had to send some stuff back home. And so, you know, it's you know, dust comes in the hotel room with like 30 bags, and then I'm just like, oh my gosh, I didn't prepare enough, because you know, you had plenty of space to pack everything, but I had to like stuff, like they had that Banshee, I had to stuff that into my carry-on. I'm surprised my carry-on didn't like pop open.
Yeah,
whatever.
I had the exact same issue with that.
And so like, it would definitely say like, it's because I try to avoid, I usually, when I fly, I try to avoid the whole, you know, having a check-in in a bag. But at this, especially with PAX, I would definitely have one, even if it's not completely full. That way you can bring stuff home. But if you're really worried about it, then you can always ship stuff off at the what was it, Staples? Whatever, one of the places over there, they ship stuff off, as long as they their credit card machine works, and you wouldn't have to wait an hour for them to just be able to ship something off like I had to. But anyways, so I would either do that or try to ship stuff, because I ended up shipping some posters home, but I did take some with me on the airplane because they fit in a smaller poster tube. So
we have Kenny on. See if we can get him in the car real quick. I know we're about to wrap up here pretty soon, but here, we'll go ahead and try to get him in the call. So now we have Kenny joining us over from Ultimate Halo. First time on the podcast. Hello.
No, second time.
Second time. First time was what?
Oh gosh, weeks ago. No, months ago.
It was the Ultimate Halo reboot, right? I think it was the Ultimate Halo reboot. Yeah. Okay. That's right. I guess you must have had a new Skype or something. Anyway. So yeah, we have him on the show now, which is good.
Yes.
So we've kind of already talked about PAX experiences and the visit to 343. So I guess kind of give you time to kind of fill in your two cents for everything. Since we're kind of on the topic of the studio visit, I know we're kind of like just jumping right in here with you, but what was the big takeaways from you from visiting the studio, from the museum tour to the games that we played with Halo Wars 2 or Mercy or Temple with mouse and keyboard, or the mad ping pong stuff that was going on? What was kind of like your big takeaway from the studio experience?
I think the big takeaway is kind of unrelated to everything that you just mentioned, and more about the people, which I think is almost more important, which is that sometimes people, in whatever madness we have around this whole little thing we like to call Halo, whatever new stuff they're announcing or anything, is that there's actually still real, genuine people behind all of that. And being able to just hang out with them and laugh with them and, like we said, mess around on ping pong tables and getting my butt beaten in foosball was pretty great, and just awesome to be able to hang out with these people that work so hard on this game and just be able to see what they're like when they're not in, you know, full Xbox Microsoft marketing mode. You know, it's an awesome thing to see that not many people get to have a chance to experience.
I will add to what you said, just because it's a point that has come up multiple times. Never play Bravo in foosball because he will kick your butt.
So bad.
I think that's all he does over there, right?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
He's their foosball master.
He gave up on Halo when he was a pro back in the MLG days and just went to foosball.
Oh, yeah. MLG foosball, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Doritos foosball combine.
Oh, that would be interesting. Jeez.
I would watch.
But you actually have some footage, and we were just kind of talking about this a little bit earlier, of the crazy ping pong shenanigans that went down. So people will be able to see
I have a total of 42 minutes and 31 seconds.
Wow.
Of foosball footage. More than anything else that we did while we were there. So it's going to be an interesting one to edit.
We're not there for Halo. We're there for table games.
Right? Yeah. Forget the Halo.
Halo? What's Halo? I mean,
what is that? I don't know.
It's a Beyonce song. That's all I know.
Right? Yep. 343 makes ping pong, right?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was ping pong community day.
There you go.
Well, judging by the way how it ended up, it could have been pretty much just a community day with Halo, a community day of ping pong with Halo attached to it.
And never again were those balls that got stuck in the light seen. I don't know if they ever managed to get those out, because there were a lot in those lights.
Did you ever get footage of Bravo trying to get them out?
Oh, I did.
You got one.
It's in 60 FPS in beautiful slow motion.
Oh, I can't wait.
It is fantastic.
Oh, that's funny. You need to get the little sound bit that it's like the, what is it? Like in some of the movies where it's like you have the slow-mo out there and it's like the opera singer in the background.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
I love it. Oh, great stuff. Yeah, Kenny, for those who haven't met him, is pretty much like a video editing guru. Yeah. So he's got some crazy talent behind that.
And he shops at IKEA.
I do. Ironically, though, I was shopping. It was related to Halo. I'm shopping for a shelf to put in my new room, my apartment, for Halo things. Because I don't have one, and it's all just kind of on my windowsill right now.
Well, so I guess we can't be too mad at you for being so late if you're doing something Halo related.
It was
I did that recently. I did that recently too, but I don't remember the name of the shelves. But if you see white shelves with glass, like glass shelves or whatever, don't buy them.
They're display cases, basically.
They're not display cases. They're kind of like, but yeah, don't buy them. You'll want to throw them out a window.
What happened to yours?
No, I put them together. It was just they were a pain in the butt to put together, because IKEA.
I mean, I've bought like a new desk and like, stuff in my closet and everything, but it's all been pretty easy to put together. So this thing is just like a little table with a shelf underneath it.
Yeah, usually things are pretty easy to put together from IKEA, but I don't know what it was about the shelves. So they're metal, and like some of them were kind of bent, so you had to like bend it right or bend it back and. Anyways, that's another story.
If we can get a hold of Tom French, I just thought of something fantastic. We should be able to print out prefabs made in Forge in real life. Like in a
3D printer. God.
If we can 3D print Spartans, I want to 3D print prefabs from Forge pieces. Can we do that? Next time we're there, I'll tell
them. Why not? Yeah, there you go.
I think there's some extra groundwork that was done in order to get the Spartans printed or printable. It'd be cool if that was possible.
Control C, Control V.
Yep.
There's one thing I learned while we're there. That's how we learned they make games. Just Control C, Control V. We saw it firsthand, all of us.
Well, I mean, the kind of general coding idea is that no one's code is original anymore. So in a way, yeah, it is Control C, Control V. Just a very complicated long string altering case of copy paste.
Copy paste a little bit there, a little bit there, delete that, copy paste more, and you got a game.
We won't do it for the game. Yep, but we won't do it for the game types because that would be too easy.
Yeah, all the weapons are photoshopped.
Clearly, they could. No, I'm kidding.
Roast. Wah, wah.
Not 343 though. No, just roasting the people that say you can. Though I did learn you could do that with like some of the earlier games, but that's not with Halo 5.
Very true. Very true.
So, yeah, so a lot of stuff went really well at the studio visit, and everything, again, was just awesome. Cool to see people out there that we don't get to necessarily see as much, more behind-the-scenes people, which was really cool. And then getting to see Bravo, Tom French, and a few other the kind of like the back-end developers for all the content that they showed us was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
As far as kind of the PAX experience or the Seattle experience, Kenny, what was your kind of big thing that you were looking forward to being? Because this is your first PAX, right? Or is it not?
Second PAX, first one that mattered, because this time last year I was, on a certain other channel that starts with an F. So now that that association is gone and everything else has opened up and people can be friends with me now,
yay!
It was a lot better. Yay!
Yay!
The Seattle experience, the same, because it's I live here, so it's home. Other than that, it was a lot of fun. Fun fact, I played in the first known Halo Wars 2 tournament at the Xbox booth.
Oh, nice.
And I took second place.
Yay! Way to go.
I want a t-shirt and more of those Spirit of Fire pins. Because why not?
Well, they were just giving those out, so nothing too special there.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, okay. You're not special enough.
Jeez. Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. But yeah, so everything else I think was awesome. And yeah, since you live there, there's no need to go into the whole sightseeing stuff.
Every site has been seen many times every morning at 7:20 a.m.
Oh geez, that's an early morning.
I actually go to 7:20. I wish I could get up at 7:20.
Say that again?
I was like 7:20. I wish I could get up at 7:20.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good day. That sounds like a good sleep in for me.
Well, that's just enough time for me to like make breakfast, then hop on the bus over the bridge to school.
That's about the time I wake up. I don't get breakfast. Yeah.
What's, I have to wake up at 5:30. What's this school thing you talk about?
I don't know, man. Honestly, it's actually a lot of me laying around in the studios because I go to Cornish College of the Arts. Hipster school. And I pretty much just stay in the studios and just mess around on my computer and post things on Twitter.
Oh, sounds like how school should have been for me, but it wasn't.
And except I just get to pay money every year to do it inside the school.
To hopefully get paid back outside the school when you're done.
Hopefully.
At least that's the end goal, right?
Absolutely. Listen, if I can find a job where I can post cat GIFs for everybody to see, then I would be very, very satisfied with my job.
See if you can get B.S. Angel's old job. That's what she did.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
That's all she did. What else did she do?
Nothing really.
I can't think of anything.
She posted cat GIFs on Waypoint.
There you go.
So I guess that.
I don't think you can post GIFs anymore on Waypoint, can you?
No. It was like for a really like limit. You never really could, but you could post images if you had the right permissions in a very early version of Waypoint.
Rip.
So.
Man, Waypoint's no fun anymore. Can't post cat GIFs. What kind of website is that?
Yep.
What they're trying to be.
That's why BS Angel left 343 Industries, because they were taking away her cat GIFs and saying, I can't do this anymore. I need my cats.
She went to go interact with cat GIFs in augmented reality over at HoloLens. So I'd actually call that a promotion.
Yeah.
Augmented reality GIFs? Oh, geez, that's the way of the future. Right there. Right there.
That's going to be so terrible.
We got to get a clip of that and put it on Twitter.
Oh gosh.
Official speculation on where BS Angel went.
Oh, dang. Too funny. Da-da-dun, da-da-dun. Oh man, good stuff. Well, Kenny, I know it's kind of a short visit, but thanks for coming on. We've been hitting the airwaves for about an hour and a half now, and I think for the most part we've made the case that if you have the chance to go to PAX West, and if you're definitely part of the Halo community, which if you're listening to this I would imagine you are, definitely try to go. I think it's worth the time, and I think everyone else here can agree that it's worth the time just from the exposure that you'll get with friends, whether you're going to meet YouTubers that you know or studio people that you know, other Halo personality types that you'll get to put names to faces and all that stuff. It's basically, there's a HaloCon aspect of it without it being specifically HaloCon. And
yeah,
I want Halo Fest so badly.
I know. Halo
Fest needs to be a thing again.
I've been thinking and kind of dropping hints with other people. If they don't do anything for at least 20 anniversary, I think the community needs to come together and basically just do our own Halo Fest for 20.
I think they will do something for 20. You do like
I hope they do.
Halo Fest. They could do a whole bunch of new stuff. They could do Halo 3 anniversary. So it's the only time it'll be acceptable.
When it's on the Xbox 1080.
Yeah, there
you or the Xbox 8K, whatever.
/ whatever. Windows 13.
Yeah. Kind of hoping we'll be in holographic by then.
Oh, yeah. That
that would be interesting. So thank you guys for taking the time to come on and over and chat for your first experiences with PAX. It's always nice to get a fresh new perspective on things. So it was a pleasure to have you all on the podcast again.
Yeah, it was great to be on, man.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So we will wrap this up. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Whether you listen to us through iTunes or Zune or whatever other podcast aggregator that you're using to listen to us, thank you for taking time to listen to us and download us. You can check us out on all of our social media platforms. We're on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitch, and Discord. And you can get to all of those by doing podtacular.com/whatever. If we have it, that will redirect you to it. We have another couple of videos coming up on our YouTube channel, including the latest Achieving Halo, and then when I get time to edit the videos from the Halo Museum. So we have some cool footage there. And in the meantime, you can just head on over to Toa Freak's channel, Halo Canon, and check out his little walkthrough. And yours is voiceover, right?
No, it's the natural audio from there. Which I think it was much more interesting because talking to some of the 343 employees and whatnot.
Was there another thing that was like, maybe it was like voiceover at the beginning, or maybe that was a different video I was watching?
It probably a different video because I didn't do any voiceover work. I just like literally just took the video straight off the card and like just placed them in Premiere and stuck my logo on there, my intro, my outro, and pushed it out.
Gotcha.
Like to give people the raw experience.
Oh. Okay then.
If you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So go on over to his channel and check that out in the meantime. And we'll get ours up here pretty soon as well. And then Kenny will have his stuff up from the studio, including the epic foosball and ping pong matches that happened.
Oh yeah, those are gonna be so good. Like I've got,
yes they are,
like the perfect music, the perfect like intro and everything. It's all in my head. I'm slow to the game. All I've got is the that part we were all in the cafeteria with those awesome Corbulo chairs and tables.
Yeah.
Saying hi.
Yeah, the benches and the tables were pretty awesome. It's nice that they actually kept those around and they're actually using them as well.
When I walked in, the first thing that I said to Andy was, I think what the first thing that I'm going to steal from here is, and it's going to be these tables and benches. So there we go.
Yep.
Can't buy those at IKEA.
No, you can't. No. But funny enough, those things were so uncomfortable to sit on and get like up and down.
They were a really weird like position to one another. Yeah. They're kind of far away and you kind of have to climb over.
It wasn't even just that. I just like had trouble like sitting down with them and getting up and
yeah, you have to like step over the chair to sit down. Yeah. It's really wide.
It's like it looks really cool, but practically, well, it's probably exactly like any table that's designed like that in modern day. Just Halo gunmetal green.
Right.
You probably don't have that much issue sitting down on them though when you're almost 10 feet tall. So
I don't think you could.
Also true. Touché.
They just bend the table, bend the seats out, and then they step in. It's like, okay, here's my seat. So make sure you check us out again on this, all of our social media. Make sure you also check out us on Twitch. We didn't record this episode live just because we did on a Sunday night, but we normally record our episodes on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern time. That time might change here pretty soon, or time and date, I might say, just to kind of get to news a little bit earlier and to kind of fit stuff around changes in schedules and whatnot. So that we'll keep you guys updated on whether or not that changes, but expect the possibility of a change in when we record our stuff. But you can also check us out on Friday nights as well, when Godzilla T hosts our Fraggin' Fridays, which is kind of lobby's choice. Depending on how many people show up, we'll kind of dictate how the direction of the lobbies will go, whether it's going to be Warzone or arena matchmaking or customs, any of that kind of stuff. And you can join up with him every Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time as well. You can also check out our podcast network. We're part of a group of gaming-specific podcasts, including Guardian Radio, Critzcast, The Learning Cliff, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. You can find those over at podka.st or thepodcast.com. That is podcast with a K. And let them know that we sent you. They're a great group of podcasts. Definitely recommend checking them out if you're looking for other gaming podcasts, whether or not they cover those games that you're interested in. So, for example, Critzcast is a Team Fortress 2 podcast. Guardian Radio is a Destiny podcast, and then The Learning Cliff is an EVE Online podcast. So if you're interested in those games, or if you're just looking for other podcasts to listen to just to pass the time, then we highly recommend that you check them out and let them know that we sent you over there to take a listen. With that said, that will wrap it for us tonight. Thanks again, Toa Freak, South, and Kenny for coming on the show and giving us your first Axe experiences. It was a pleasure to meet you all for the first time and put names to faces and voice to names and all that fun stuff. And hopefully you get to see you guys down the road at future conventions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
PAX for sure.
Yep.
PAX for sure.
RTX 2017.
God, if I could afford it.
I will be there.
Cool.
I wish I could say the same, but you know, going with life,
budgets.
Yeah,
maybe if I get a raise this year.
Money
or next year. Yeah, it's always gonna come down to money.
Yeah,
I'm going to Japan in 2017, so that's one
reason. Oh yeah, that's gonna eat up some budget.
Yeah.
Certainly enough, for me, it's never a money issue. It's always a what time off can I take off of work issue.
Yeah, that's more of what it is for me. It's more of like, I only get 2 weeks of vacation.
Yeah.
The struggle is real. But again, thanks to our guests for coming on. We will see you guys back on the podcast live on Thursday, depending on when this comes out. But it'll be live anyway on Thursday, no matter what the number is coming up. Until then, keep on fragging PAX West. Because it used to be Prime, and PAX Prime sounds better.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I'll take West since it was my first, but I'll be that guy.
Fair enough.